First Peter was written by none other than Peter, an apostle of Christ. It was written to various churches in the Roman provinces of not only Galatia, Cappadocia, and Asia. And this was written sometime around 63 to 64 AD, while Nero was the emperor there in Rome. It's important for us to realize these things to get a context for this verse that we'll be looking at here in just a few minutes. This letter was designed to be passed around from church to church or congregation to congregation. And these things are still applicable to us today because we still face many of the same issues that they faced back in the first century. During these times, Nero was the emperor, and he was known for the persecution of Christians. Some of the same things that we faced today, and they wrote about the same things nearly 2,000 years ago. While these times when Nero was persecuting Christians, it was the central theme of 1 Peter, if you will, would be that while they're facing these persecutions during these times, that it was a letter of encouragement to those people to stay faithful, to remain faithful to God. So if you would, 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll go to the last chapter in 1 Peter. The verse that I would like to look out and pick out this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10. But let us not forget these things with which we've talked about or mentioned as the background for the passage this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, it says, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who calls you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." This morning I would like to take the last part of this verse, and it says, "In Him He will perfect." He will confirm, He will strengthen, He will establish. I'd like to take this part and dig a little bit deeper into what this means, that He will perfect us, He will confirm us, He will establish us, and He will strengthen us. I would like to read through several different versions so that we have an idea of different versions and how they read, so that we don't take any one thing out of context this morning. In the American Standard Version, it reads as this: "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who you call to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." In the English Standard Version, it reads this way: "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." The New King James Version is very similar. It says, "But may the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." The King James reads it just a hair bit different. It says, "The God of all grace, who has called you into His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." I think the point of looking at these different versions is to make sure that we're not taking any one thing out of context, that we have a better idea and grasping the concepts that we'll be looking at. So as we look at this verse, there's three main points of this lesson. I was told once there's three points in every good sermon, so I'm trying to make this a good sermon this morning. The three main points would be, number one, that He perfects us. Number two, that He confirms or establishes us. And number three, the final point being that He strengthens us. As we begin to look at these three main points, let us back up a few verses to get the context in which Peter is writing about here. So we'll start in verse number 5, and we'll read through verse number 11. So 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse number 5. Says, "You younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter starts this passage, verse number 5, talking to those who are younger about showing respect to their elders. I think as we move along and make several points, we can make or draw the point that does not submitting oneself to the elder, does that not start in your childhood? If one is not submitting themselves to their elder or respecting their elders, is it harder for them to respect God? So I think that's an important point for us to realize, is that this idea of all this starts in one's youth, respecting God in one's youth, respecting their elders in one's youth. And then it moves on to, in verse number 6, humbling yourselves. Another important aspect of this is humbling yourself before God. And I don't think this can be accomplished unless you have respect for that someone. If you don't respect your parents, you will not humble yourself or submit yourself before your parents. And the same idea, if we do not respect God in the correct way, we cannot humble ourselves before God. And then moving on, and once all this has been accomplished, once you respect and humble yourself before God, that we must be watchful for the devil, because in order to remain faithful to God, we must withstand steadfast in your faith, as it says in verse number 9. And He warned us there will be sufferings for these that are involved in faithfulness to God because of those who seek to persecute those who are willing to be obedient to God. So that kind of brings us to verse number 10. A little bit of background before we get to verse number 10. I believe it starts in one's youth, and it begins in respecting your elders, respecting God, humbling yourself before God to being obedient. And then that brings us to our text in verse number 10. In verse number 10, we'll read it one more time. It says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who calls you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Again, the 3 points we'll make this morning very quickly, as I'll try, is perfect, confirm, and strengthen. As we look at verse number 10, we can see this idea that of these 3 points, it begins at the God of all grace. He is the God who has an eternal home for each and every one of us, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. That's beyond our comprehension, that we serve a good, a loving God, one that has set out a home for us for eternity if we do remain faithful to Him. So looking at our first point number 1, to Himself perfect. Whenever we look at this idea, it means to make fit, to complete, or to qualify for one's task. We can begin to develop this point in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. It says, now may the God of all peace, who brought up from the dead against the shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, that is, Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. When we talk about this idea of being perfected, being made complete, it's only through Jesus Christ that we can attain that which is being complete. We can see this point further developed in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and it reads, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head and ruler and authority. We can see here that it is only through Christ that we can be made perfect, that we can be made complete if you will. Without Him, we cannot be made complete. We cannot serve God without Christ's sacrifice that He made to make our lives complete before Him. We can ask ourselves, how or why can we complete ourselves? And we can answer this in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse number 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." When we're being made complete in Him, we have submitted our lives to Christ. We have been buried with Him in baptism, be raised up to walk in newness of life, and that's only found in and through Christ. And then once we've been made complete, the blessings that follow because we are in Christ, the joy that we can have because we know that we're serving the God, the One and Lord Almighty, the One who created all things, the One that has set out a place for us in heaven for all eternity if, in fact, we remain faithful. In John chapter 1, verses 14 and 16, it reads, "His fullness refers..." let's turn to John chapter 1, verses 14 and 16. John 1, 14 through 16, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and He saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a rank greater than I, for He existed before me. For His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace.'" His fullness refers to the abundant fullness of God's salvation that's imparted to believers, and that's only in and through Christ Jesus. In Jesus, the entire fullness of divine grace and love has become actively present in each and every one of our lives. Without Christ, it is impossible for us to be made complete. Because in James 1:17, it says, "For every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." God sent His Son to be a sacrifice that could wash us of our sins and make us whole and make us complete. And that's what the Hebrew writer writes about in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 14. It says, "But for by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." If we have made our lives right with Him, if we have been made complete, we have been made sanctified before Him. So we can only become complete in and through Christ Jesus. That wraps up our first point of being made complete or perfected in Him. It's in and only through Jesus Christ that we can be made complete. So point number two is being that He confirms and establishes us. This means to make steadfast or being rooted and grounded in and through our faith. I think we can look back at some Old Testament scriptures to get an idea of what this means whenever God confirms a covenant with His people. Some examples, we can turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 18. I apologize, I realize we're going through some of these scriptures pretty quick, so if it's easiest, then you can just listen on this morning. But Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 18, it says, "But you are to remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth in order to confirm His covenant with which He swore to your fathers as it is this day." And one more example, we can see that the covenant between Abraham and God in Leviticus chapter 29 and verse number 6, it says, "So I will turn towards you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you." This covenant that is talked about here is one that denotes a binding relationship between God and His people. So moving on to the New Testament, which we are under today, how can we be confirmed? How can we be established by God today? We can answer this in Romans chapter 16, in verse number 25, it says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and by the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery by which has been kept secret for long ages past." We are established by and through Jesus Christ, who we just talked about being made complete in Him. We're also established, confirmed by Him. It's through Him that we have the covenant of the New Testament, which we are bound to if we have been obedient to the things which have been set out before us. We're established by being strengthened in the truth of the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 2, we get an idea of what is wrote here. The reason we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you for the benefit of your faith. And when we talk about these things, it's important, whenever we're established and rooted and grounded in these things, that there were those who went out and told other people to preach the gospel, and they were strengthened and encouraged. They were confirmed in that which way they were ought to believe. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 13, just a few verses down, so it says, it reads, "So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints." Being established begins in our hearts and in our minds through the word that's given to us to obey. If we continue to obey these things, to remain faithful, then we will one day be confirmed into heaven to serve God for all eternity, to praise Him for all eternity. We also talked about this in Bible class this morning. Whenever something is confirmed, there is a seal that is attached to that. We can look at when there is a set of plans, there's someone that puts their seal on that. That means they have confirmed that which has been printed. In John chapter 3 and verse number 3, we can see that the same idea, the seal being put on us as Christians, once we have made that decision, that a seal is put on us. So we could ask ourselves this morning, number one being, do we have that seal on us? Do we have the seal of Christ on us? Have we accomplished the steps that we need to be a child of His? And the second one being is, if we do have that seal, what are we doing to maintain that seal so that we can be confirmed one day in heaven? So that brings us to point number three, being strengthened. We get to find this by that moves us on to being equipped or being equipped for active service. Christians are to be active in serving the Lord. It's something that we ought to do each and every day of our lives. I think we can see a great example of this is in Acts chapter 14, starting in verse number 21. Acts chapter 14 and verse 21, we can, and this, I think this is a great example that definitely applies to each and every one of us today. It says, "After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, and they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, 'Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God.'" Here, Paul implores the disciples to remain faithful by continuing and remaining steadfast in their faith. They gain the strength through exhorting each other and by spurring one another on, as it reads in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24. In the same way, we have the scriptures today to go to for strength whenever we enter whenever we enter those times when we need strength, we have the Word of God to turn to that will give us strength if our hearts and our minds are open to it. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we can develop this point just a little bit further. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it reads, Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that which will be rescued from perverse and evil men for all, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Gaining the strength begins in obedience to Him, in which once we have put our obedience, our faith in Him, He will in turn provide that strength in which we need. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes, and it gives a great deal of encouragement, I believe, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and starting in verse number 12. It says, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has strengthened me, because He considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more abundant with the faith and love which you are found in Christ Jesus. It's only through Jesus Christ through which we can be strengthened, and it begins in our obedience to Him. If we are not a child of His, then we cannot draw strength from Him. If we're willing to put our faith in Him, to obey Him in all things, so that we can be made complete, so that we can be perfected in Him by and through the blood they shed on the cross, and then we're able to be established, we're able to be confirmed by God, to be able to receive the strength that we need to stay the course, so that one day, Lord willing, we may too enter into His joy, into heaven, to worship and serve Him for all eternity. So as we looked at this verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, I hope that it has been an encouraging message this morning that we can be perfected only and through Christ, that we can be confirmed by Him, and that we can gain strength through Him, through His inspired Word, each and every day of our lives. It's at this time that we offer the Lord's invitation. If you need to make your life right by God, if you need to be made complete in Him, be washed in His blood through the waters of baptism, we would ask that you would come forward as we stand and sing, or if you have any other need that we might need to know about or pray for you with, we would ask that you come as we stand and as we sing together.